Ephesians 3, we're going to read the first 13 verses, and the first 13 verses are our text this morning as well. Paul has just been speaking about how in Christ the Gentiles and the Jews have been brought together into a new people. And he has that in mind, and he also has grace through faith, Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 10, God's wonderful grace to us, and the many spiritual blessings we have in Christ. And so he begins in chapter 3 verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you, not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. So far, God's word, and as always, keep his word open before you. And let's ask him for God and now for a blessing on that word that we've just heard. Please pray with me. How can a young man and a young woman, how can an older man and an older woman, how can middle-aged men and women, how can young children keep their way pure? You already told us this morning, Heavenly Father, by guarding it according to your word, by storing your word up in our hearts. So store up your word in our hearts now this morning as we hear your word to us. The word that you have chosen from before the beginning of time as part of your perfect eternal plan for us. Speak to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I was a young fella, around the age of 5, I was involved in an adult conversation. And this conversation was around what a secret was. And the people, my parents included, my mother and father, were having this discussion about secrets. And I, not wanting to miss out on the conversation, the action, I said, I know what a secret is. A secret is that Mum is going to get a new ring for her birthday. Now, of course, at that point, the secret's let out of the bag. I did prove the point. I didn't know what a secret was, but I didn't know what you meant to do with a secret. Generally, a secret is something that we're meant to keep to ourselves, at least for a certain time. Something that's not going to be known to everyone, at least for a certain period of time. And it's that idea of secret, that's behind the word mystery that we have in our passage this morning. We see it a number of times, the mystery made known to me, the mystery that Paul was to reveal. Something that wasn't widely known for a certain amount of time. But here in our passage, this mystery, the secret, is revealed. And it is that secret that we're going to consider this morning in our passage. This revelation of the secret, this uncovering, was something that took up all of Paul's life following that encounter he had with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And as we look at this passage this morning, first and foremost, we need to remember that this isn't a direct word to us. We can't put ourselves straight away straight in this passage. We need to remember that this is the Apostle Paul speaking about his life. This is the Apostle Paul speaking about God's call on his life. Now, that doesn't mean at all that this passage has nothing to say for us this morning. In fact, it has plenty to say, but we need to look at it through those lenses. This is Paul describing God's calling to him. And God's call is an encouragement to us. Yes, we shall see this morning. God used him to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, and that is our call too. This morning we're going to see that as a church we are called to reveal the mystery of the gospel. As a church, we are called to reveal the mystery of the gospel. 3 points this morning. Our first point is this. We are called to proclaim the mystery. Called to proclaim the mystery. We see that in the first 6 verses of our passage this morning, if you're following along. In chapter 3, verse 1, and I spoke about that as we began the passage, Paul begins, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles..." He's about to launch into a prayer. We're going to consider that prayer, Lord willing, in a couple of weeks. But as he's about to consider this prayer, and then something catches his mind, something important, something that he needs to speak to the Ephesians about. He's diverted, but it's a good diversion. Paul begins to speak about himself. Now, not in a way to bring glory to himself, rather, he wants to speak about the way that God has used him, the calling that God has placed on his life. He says in verse 2, "Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace." In verse 3 he says, "How the mystery was made known to me by revelation as I have written briefly." Now, we're not quite sure exactly what Paul is meaning here. Most likely he's speaking about his time that he's been with the Ephesians and that he spent with the Ephesians. So they knew some of his mission, some of what he was about. It's possible that he's referring to what he's already said in the book of Ephesians. But Paul's point is that through God's grace, he was given a task. He was made a steward. Now, we don't use the word steward very much nowadays. We can think of it, the closest we can think of it nowadays is like a butler. Like a butler who is in charge of all of the household affairs of someone's house. They're not the owner of the house, but they run the house. They're responsible for seeing that the food gets ordered, that people get fed, that things get cleaned, that the house runs smoothly. And that was part of the task that Paul was given, he said. I was given as a steward. The NIV has the word administration there, which has the same sort of idea. By God's grace, Paul says, God's grace, I was given, verse 3, to make known the mystery, or what was made known to me, first of all. First of all, to Paul, the mystery. Now, what is this mystery that he keeps referring to here in our passage? Something not previously known, we see there in verse 5, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Thankfully, we don't need to look too far. We just need to carry on reading. As in verse 6, Paul defines the mystery as he's speaking about it here in chapter 3. He says, "This mystery is this, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." The mystery is that the Gentiles are part two of God's salvation plan. Now, the ESV doesn't really capture as well as the NIV does, exactly what is being said here. Some of you will have the NIV. Anyone have the NIV before you this morning? A few hands there, yes. In chapter 6, we read this. Verse 6, I should say. We read this, and that really gives us the idea here. This mystery is, in the NIV, that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. You hear that word, boys and girls, again? Together. Three times he's saying it there. He's reminding them of what we looked at the past week, of the last week, of the barriers being broken down between Jews and Gentiles. Together, they are made into a new person, a new nation. Together, they are made into the church. And through the apostles, through the New Testament prophets, that secret is now out. Now, Paul says here, what was not made known previously has now been revealed. But didn't the Old Testament prophets say that the gospel, that the message of hope was going to go to all the nations? We read that in the book of Isaiah. God promised to Abraham in Genesis 12 that all nations would be blessed through Abraham's seed. So, why is he talking about it as a secret? Well, it's true that the Old Testament has spoken about that. From Daniel, that God's kingdom would spread throughout the entire world. But what was not yet revealed was the mystery that Paul had been speaking about here. The fact that the barriers between nations have been broken down, as we looked at last week. The fact that the gospel is to go out to all. The fact that believers are now considered one people in Jesus Christ, no matter what nation they came from. So through the apostles, Paul says, that secret is out. And brothers and sisters, that secret remains out. We are part of that blessing. We are part of the mystery that has been revealed. All believers are in on that secret. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for all. All are welcome. The message of Christ, of Jesus Christ, is to be given to everyone freely. God's ministry to the world, God's gospel going throughout the world, is not God's plan B. He only ever had one plan. A plan from the beginning of time. As part of God's eternal purpose, as verse 11 says. You belong as part of that plan. As part of God's multinational plan. The gospel going out to all. And the New Testament makes it clear that we are to proclaim that mystery of hope. We are to hold out Jesus Christ as that hope, as Paul did in his life. It's a challenge to us this morning to offer the gospel to all freely. But there is more to this mystery that we are called to proclaim, and that brings us to our second point this morning. Our second point is called to proclaim unsearchable riches. Called to proclaim unsearchable riches. If you're following along in your Bible, we're looking here at verses 7 through 9. 7 through 9. Paul says, of this gospel, I was made a minister. Again, he's speaking about himself. I was made a minister of this gospel. But how was he made a minister? Did he earn it? Was he just such a wonderful public speaker that God had to choose him? No, he was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. And we see God's grace referred to time and time here. Verse 8, this grace I was given. It's all from God's grace. And Paul wants to make it clear that it's not something in himself. It was given to me, he says, verse 7, by the working of his power. To me, though, I am the very least of all the saints. He describes him here literally as the lowest of the low, the very, very lowest. What was this grace given for Paul to do? This grace was given, verse 8, for him to preach. To preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. We see here Paul's humility, Paul's humbleness, something that's really, really important for a minister, for a pastor, for a minister of the gospel. It would have been easy for Paul to think, well, I am worthy, I'm special, God is lucky to have me on my side. But by God's grace and through God's grace, he doesn't go there. Brothers and sisters, pride is the number one killer in pastoral ministry. In my short time as a pastor, I've seen that time and time again already. And so as you pray for me as your pastor, and I know many of you do, I feel that, I appreciate that. Include in there a prayer that pride would not take your pastor. That I would rely on God's grace alone as I serve you. Pray that too for your elders. Pray that too for your deacons as they lead us. Paul is equipped by God's grace, through God's grace, to bring the light of the gospel. And notice that he says there, not just to the Gentiles, now he's including everyone, to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God. Paul is called to shine the light, to proclaim the light of Jesus Christ, to proclaim the unsearchable riches. Now this word unsearchable is one of those words that there's a real struggle to put that word into English. This word unsearchable can mean inexplorable, untraceable, unfathomable, inexhaustible, illimitable, inscrutable, incalculable, infinite. In one way, there's no way that anyone can fully understand the riches of God and Jesus Christ. There's not one way that we cannot fully understand who Christ is, his glory, the blessings that we receive in him. But yet Paul is called to make these unsearchable, these ununderstandable, these infinite riches known. In one way, it's like having this huge 2 kilogram steak placed in front of you, and you know with that compared together with the potatoes and the vegetables and the big dessert that's coming, there's no way that you can eat all of this. But yet you can start. Yet you can take a little nibble. And here Paul encourages the church and encourages us to begin and to take a nibble at God's riches. What are these riches that he's describing? Well, they are the riches of God's grace to us, dead in trespasses and sins, beginning of chapter 2. The riches of God's mercy, Ephesians 2, verse 4, because of his great love that he makes us alive. The unsearchable riches, the riches of the good works that he's prepared for us beforehand. All of the riches and blessings that we considered when we looked at Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 14, I should say. The riches, the glory, the blessings, the grace of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was called to proclaim, to hold out, to remind the Ephesians of. And that's what we are called to hold out too. That's what we are called to reveal, brothers and sisters. Now, we're not all called to be preachers, to be pastors, but we are all called to proclaim. So the first question we should consider this morning is, do we see Jesus Christ as a treasure? Do we see him as a treasure? Do we see his blessings given to us that I've just touched on briefly this morning. Do we see those as riches? There's a saying, one man's trash is another man's treasure. And if you look on Trade Me nowadays, you see things that to you may be worthless, but it's amazing how much they go for. If someone thinks something is important, they're willing to sacrifice for it. They're willing to pay for it. They're willing to spend cash on it. If you think something is valuable to you, you're willing to spend time, money, and energy on it. You're willing and wanting to tell others about this glorious thing, this bargain, this wonderful thing that you found. So how valuable are Christ's riches to you? I speak to myself here this morning as well. How valuable are they? Are you drawing down on those riches? Are you using those riches? Are you drinking in the riches of Jesus Christ? Are you spending time in them? Because as you do so, you will grow, you will shine, you will reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. Rather than keeping it a mystery to others, rather than keeping it to yourself, living, breathing Christ's promises to you, proclaiming his unsearchable riches. Called to proclaim the mystery of the gospel going to all. Paul expands on that mystery, the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And thirdly and finally, called to display manifold wisdom. Called to display manifold wisdom. Here we're looking at verses 10 through 13. In verse 10, we have what we call a purpose clause, or a result clause. When you're looking through a passage and you see something like, so that's a pointer to the reason for what the author has been saying. He's been telling us about the mystery, the unsearchable riches. And Paul says, I was called to do that so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known. Through the church. As part of God's plan, as part of his eternal purpose, the God who in verse 9 Paul says created all things. How do we see God's plan working out throughout history? How do we see God's plan working out here in New Zealand, here in this world? By the church displaying the manifold wisdom of God. It's in the church where the manifold wisdom of God is on display. Now, this word manifold is a very rich word. It's used in the Greek version of the Old Testament to describe Joseph's coat. Boys and girls, you remember Joseph's coat? The coat of many colors, this brilliant coat that had many various different colors on it. You could say like the sides of a diamond. Or like a rich tapestry of many vibrant colours. That's the church on display. Showing the wisdom of God, showing the work of Jesus Christ. That was the church on display in Ephesians, in the time of the Ephesians. As Jews and Gentiles came together, as national brothers, barriers were broken down. As God created the new man in place of two, verse 15. That's the church on display today. The multicultural nature of the church, a melting point of cultures. The church on display as it proclaims the wonderful wisdom, the manifold wisdom of Jesus Christ, the hope of Jesus Christ. And who notices this? Paul says there that it might be made known to who? Second half of verse 10. That the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Now the rulers and authorities in heavenly places is a phrase that is up for contention among scholars. Some say it refers to the good angels. Some say it's a reminder to the bad angels. Some say, and I think that's the best interpretation, it's a reminder, it's a display to heavenly beings in total. All of the spiritual forces, dark and good, witness and see God's plan being worked out in the church. God's plan on earth through the church is being noticed in heaven. Paul means this as an encouragement to the church. To a church facing oppression, a church in the middle of a spiritual battle, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, this was meant as a word of comfort, a word of encouragement. Be encouraged, Ephesians. God at work in you is his glorious plan for the entire world. It's an encouragement to us, brothers and sisters. We are part of God's plan for changing the world, for influencing the world. We are part of God's glorious display to the world. Us, here in Rangiora, where we can only gather with 50 people, where we're small, us with our problems, us with our challenges. Paul says, yes. Yes. The mere fact that you are here as a church proves God's promise, shows God's work on display, that 2,000 years of oppression has not extinguished the church. The mere fact that we are here as a congregation, living in our communities, is God's way of showing to the forces of heaven that his plan cannot be broken. We are part of God's plan to proclaim the gospel to the world, to bring people the message of hope. And the forces of Satan and his angels will not stop us. It's really important for us to remember that, brothers and sisters. As we spoke about last week in our barriers, the barriers that we build up between us, it's so easy for us to focus on the negative, to focus on the problems that we have in the church, the problems that we have in our lives. And Paul is saying here, look up. Remember who you are. You are God's bride, as we've heard in the book of Revelation. God is at work through you. The church is going nowhere. The church is God's plan on display to the world. It's meant as an encouragement to the Ephesians. An encouragement to the Ephesians who were worried about Paul being a prisoner of Christ on their behalf. He's saying, I am happy to be a prisoner on behalf of the Gentiles, on behalf of you. Because as I suffer, I have the opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because as I suffer, God is at work in you. That's what he means there when he says, do not lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Paul is saying, I am glad to suffer if you will be glorified in heaven. So brothers and sisters, the question for us this morning is, what are we going to do with the mystery of the gospel? What are we going to do with a message that is to be given to the entire world? Are we going to keep it a secret? Are we going to keep it to ourselves? Or are we going to embrace God's plan through us, use God's grace given us, to praise him first of all, that he would seek to use us as broken people? But also to pray to him, to ask him to thank him for the privilege of being used to proclaim this wonderful message of hope, and ask him and say, Lord, use me. Give me opportunities to proclaim the mystery, the hope of Jesus Christ. Give me the words to say. Bring me into situations, into opportunities where I can proclaim your hope. Brothers and sisters, this is not a secret to be kept to ourselves, but a message to be proclaimed loudly and clearly whenever we can. That's God's calling to us as a church. Church of God, elect and glorious, holy nation, chosen race, called as God's own special people, royal priests and heirs of grace. Know the purpose of your calling. Show to all his mighty deeds. Tell of love which knows no limits, grace which meets all human needs. God has called you out of darkness into his most marvelous light, brought his truth to life within you, turned your blindness into sight. Let your light so shine around you that God's name is glorified, and all find fresh hope and purpose in Christ Jesus crucified. Church of God, elect and holy, be the people he intends, strong in faith and swift to answer each command your master sends, royal priests, fulfill your calling through your sacrifice and prayer. Give your lives in joyful service, sing his praise, his love declare. Let's do that now as God's people. Please pray with me and then we will sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your calling upon us as your church. We thank you first of all for the grace that you have given us, that you have called us to be your people. We thank you that you have placed us here as your church in Rangiora. Help us to proclaim the mystery of hope, the mystery of the gospel. Help us to make that mystery, that secret, widely known. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we keep it to ourselves. Forgive us for the times that we place barriers up. Forgive us for the times that we think, well, that person doesn't need the gospel. Set a fire in our hearts. Set a fire in us as a church to proclaim the message of hope. We thank you, Father, for the privilege that you've given us, that you would use us. You didn't need to use us. You don't need to use us. But yet that is your way. That is part of the mystery too, that you would take us as broken, sinful people to be part of your crown, to be part of your plan to recreate the world, the universe in which you live in. Continue to work in us, we pray, and as you work in us, help us to shine your light. Give us those opportunities and help us to use those opportunities. Give us boldness. Give us the words to say to proclaim the hope of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, Amen. Number 359 is a soul that asks God to speak to us and then speak to others. So number 389, I should say, 389. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. Use me, Lord, we sing in verse 5. Use me, O Lord, use even me, just as you wilt and when and where, until your blessed face I see, thy rest, thy joy, thy glory share. Use us in your kingdom to proclaim your message. Let's stand and sing these words together, number 389.